Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to another episode of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at OTGBasketball. Also, do us a favor, hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Nick Fay. Full house tonight. Corey Waldron, Brad Behrman, and making his return, Harris Wishard. What's up, guys?
Man, we got a party. They say Saturday is for the boys, and we're bringing in the full effect right now.
I don't think this is what they had in mind, but yeah, same. But yeah,
for hoop lovers.
Okay. You know, it's an absolute pleasure to be back, Corey, Brad. Pleasure to meet you, and it really is an honor to be back on the OTG pod, and obviously a very entertaining time in the NBA world right now.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Great to have you on. So, you know, obviously the offseason's cooled down a little bit. It's still been pretty hot talk about Kyrie. Obviously, we know you requested a trade. I didn't have you guys on last week. I had Jesse on. So I want to get your thoughts when you initially heard that Kyrie requested a trade from the Cavs after going to three straight NBA finals.
I was slightly stunned. You know, it's just we often see stars trying to get off bad teams when they aren't winning. And just the fact that the Cavs have been to three straight NBA finals, they won a ring in 2016. You know, it's just you always want to try and win, you would think. And, you know, just having Kyrie want to get out of a winning situation just to have his own team, you know, it's baffling to me.
Yep, I agree. It's just kind of weird. He apparently wants to be the guy somewhere, and he doesn't want to be under LeBron's shadow anymore. It's just kind of weird. You know, it's a winning situation. They're the best team in the Eastern Conference, and he wants to go be the guy and have his own team, maybe build his own super team someplace. Yeah, it's just kind of weird.
Yeah, the first thing I thought of, guys, this has got to be something personal because it's obviously not something on the court. I don't know if he looked at what Golden State was doing and said, well, you know, we didn't really compete in the NBA Finals, but I don't think anywhere he's going is going to create a better situation to try to beat that basketball team. So I don't think it has – this is, to me, something that doesn't have anything to do on the basketball court. It probably has something to do off, and especially with the Derrick Rose signing in Cleveland. And now it even creates a little bit weirder of a situation to me, because when I see that, I don't think Rose is coming in there to play 12, 14 minutes a game.
Yeah, we'll talk about Rose in a little bit, but Kyrie in the sense is, it like you guys mentioned, you know, going from the Cavs, you know, winning, going to three straight finals, winning an NBA championship, not knowing how hard that really is to do, I think that's definitely interesting to ask for that trade. I guess from Kyrie's perspective, he's just looking at his legacy. We've mentioned it before, the influence from Kobe, you know, wanting to be that Mamba-type mentality, that superstar and lead your own team and be the best player on a team. Do you guys think that Kyrie could be the best player in a championship team?
You know, no. I don't think he can, just for the fact of the position he plays. You know, if Kyrie was more of a two-guard like Kobe, because, you know, he wants to be compared to Kobe and whatever, Mamba mentality, the scoring. Like, obviously, Kyrie is one of the best scorers in the league. But at the point guard position, you need him to be a better playmaker. And I just don't know what a team looks like when you're built around a point guard who doesn't play make.
Yeah, exactly. He's not the playmaker. He isn't on the level of like a Russell Westbrook. He's not even to that level, really. He's just more of a scorer. So he doesn't really fill a statute otherwise. He doesn't really play defense. He can't really be the best player if you don't play both ends of the floor. It'd be hard for him to be sort of the guy, I guess, as he says he wants to do, or he apparently wants.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously know what he could do on the offensive end and get out and transition. I think some of his assist numbers are tricky because obviously you have the ball in LeBron's hands a lot, but he's probably a two or three option on the best team in the league. I say that if you looked at going like a team like New York, obviously he'd probably be the number one offensive option, but you'd have a guy like KP there, but that team obviously wouldn't be good enough to contend for a title. He doesn't really rebound or defend at a high level. But there are some deficiencies in his game right now. But I agree with what the panel's saying here. I don't think Kyrie Irving is going to be the number one player, especially if you look around the league now with some of the talent and some of the way the teams are built now. No, he might be going for the more money, for the more hoopla, for the more endorsements. But the championship, if he wants to win a championship, he's probably going to want to stay where he's at right now.
Yeah, you know, obviously he's on last year what probably was the best – two seasons ago when they won the championship, arguably the best team in the league. Last year, second best team in the league and, you know, pretty much a lot better than the rest of their Eastern Conference. But let's talk a little bit about the teams that he possibly could go to. Obviously, Kyrie said that he'd be willing to go to the Timberwolves, the Knicks, the Heat, or the Spurs. And they're four of the teams that actually made offers from Kyrie's. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN came out and said six teams made offers: Clippers, Suns, Wolves, Knicks, Heat, and Spurs. So let's kind of go through each team and think about what they can offer, and do you think it's even possible? We'll start with the Clippers. Personally, I don't think they have a shot. They don't really have any assets. What do you guys think about them?
I think the Clippers are like a distant long shot. You know, if they had heard about this prior to losing Chris Paul and trading Chris Paul, maybe they could have made a trade. But, you know, there's nothing that the Clippers have now that would, you know, even interest Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly. The Clippers don't have a lot of assets in terms of draft picks. You know, they kind of sold the farm a little bit to have, you know, a top-heavy roster. They don't have a lot of depth. Not many assets to appeal to Cleveland for Kyrie. If Cleveland wants to replenish some of their own draft picks and get some younger guys in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I don't think they want to give up any of their better forwards or centers. And obviously, we know they're probably not going to deal Blake Griffin because what, he just signed that. What is he under contract for in Cleveland?
Yeah, he signed to the max there for 5 years. So.
Yeah, so he's not going anywhere. So other than him, I mean, you look up and down that roster, and like you guys just said, Chris Paul has now found a new home in Houston. Kyrie will not be relocating in L.A.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's pretty easy to see L.A. not as a choice. Moving on to another team, though, Phoenix, they have an interesting thing. Obviously, there's reports they're not willing to offer Josh Jackson. That's what the Cavs are looking to do, maybe a Josh Jackson, Eric Bledsoe, maybe a pick or another player involved could possibly make it happen. What do you guys think about the Suns?
If they probably really want to move Kyrie, this is probably one of their best options. Only because, you know, just last week or earlier this week in Las Vegas, LeBron was already working out with Eric Bledsoe. They've worked out, I guess, a couple summers already. So, you know, they obviously have some type of relationship. I'm not sure how much of a factor that could play. But, you know, if you're trying to move Kyrie, bring in a guy that LeBron already knows and has played with, and then maybe getting, you know, a Marquise Chris, who I'm not too fond of, but, you know, a younger player with some draft picks, they have the assets to get a Kyrie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely true. The Suns definitely have the assets. If they were to change stance on Josh Jackson, maybe be willing to swap him out. They definitely have the young guys, maybe the draft picks to get Cleveland's attention if they want to make a trade offer.
Yeah, the Suns do have some assets. But, Corey, you know what I don't know. For some reason when I hear this, it just bothers me a little bit. And you hear it all the time throughout the league. Like, this guy worked out with that guy worked out with this. He had dinner with this guy. He knew this guy in high school. That guy knew that. There's just so many different types of things that happen that kind of bothers me and annoys me. Like, and these reports, like, what are the legitimacies? Are these legitimate reports?
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
It seems like just for example, last week Kyrie was working out with Carmelo and Jimmy Butler.
Right.
So, I mean, like, all these guys, I mean, obviously most players in the league, they're friendly with each other.
Yes.
I mean, they're
and a lot of people hate that. A lot of people hate that about the NBA.
Well, yes, but yeah. I mean, I know. we've heard, you know, like the greats say that they would never really play with, you know, people that were on their teams. Right. I don't know. You're right. It probably doesn't play a huge stake, but if he's playing with a certain group of guys, you know, constantly, I don't know. If there's a possible trade talk, then maybe it just, you know, LeBron says, you know, yeah, I'll play with them just to help Cleveland. That's my only thought.
And another thing is Eric Bledsoe and LeBron James are represented by the same agency. So that obviously has some type of impact.
Definitely.
But, you know, you mentioned the relationships, and it is kind of like everything. You know, this guy went to high school with him. He lived in the same state. They played AAU against each other 3 times.
Right.
But, you know, relationships do matter in the sense that look at the offseason. You know, Gordon Hayward doesn't go to Boston unless Brad Stevens is the coach.
My guy Michael Rappaport calls it the skinification of the NBA, and that, like, this AAU-type atmosphere that's been created by, you know, specifically AAU and off-season workouts and things of that nature that make these guys have these close-knit relationships that kind of – I don't want to say ruins the competition of the league, but it certainly doesn't make it what it was in the 1980s. I don't want to sound like that old guy in the room, but, like, I don't know. It just bothers me when they're all of these guys spending so much time together over the off-season.
I mean, one thing it does do is, you know, you're competing against the best players on other teams, like, you know, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, and Carmelo all train together. You know, they're going to have a better training session than if it was, you know, Carmelo Anthony and Joakim Noah and Kyle O'Quinn, you know, like playing with your own guys or something like that. So, I mean, I could definitely see how it's annoying because there's not as much hate. But I think, like, in some aspects, we're starting to see a little bit of the hate because I think everybody's starting to hate the Warriors a little bit. Obviously, there's plenty of tension between the Cavs and Warriors.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty excited to see what the Warriors do at their Halloween party this year.
That's funny.
But moving on, we talked to Suns, and you know, you guys made great points about that. Marquise, Chris, Corey, you know, Dragan Bender could be another piece. TJ Warren, you know, and they have the Heat picks from, I think, 2018, and they have 2023 or something like that from the Goran Dragic trade. So they have assets. You know, Brad's team over there, the T-Wolves, have been mentioned, possibly offering Andrew Wiggins. What do we think about the T-Wolves in a possible Kyrie trade?
I just don't think it makes sense. Just not, you know, you just signed Jeff Teague, so you can't move Jeff Teague if you wanted to trade him until December 15th, right? Or I believe that's the date.
Yep.
So, and you just got Jimmy Butler. I mean, if you're going to trade Wiggins, you know, the problem at the point guard position, like who plays the two guard, Kyrie, and you have Teague run point? I just don't know if that works. And I don't know if Andrew Wiggins would be welcome back in Cleveland or if he would even want to go back in Cleveland. There's just a lot of question marks revolving that.
Yep, absolutely. I think it's a weird fit with Kyrie. He'd have to shift over to two guard probably. And if he wants to be the guy, he'd be third, maybe fourth in that pecking order, you know, unless they trade Wiggins to Cleveland. But they, you know, maybe Wiggins isn't really a Tom Thibodeau kind of player because he doesn't play defense yet or hasn't learned how to play defense yet. But just be a weird fit. And if the Wolves have made an offer, it probably has to include Wiggins.
Yeah, Wiggins and Butler aren't the offensive players, in my opinion, that Irving are, but they're both two of the better two-way players in the game. And you just started moving in that direction. And like you guys talked about with Jeff Teague and not being able to be moved to December 15th. So this one was kind of weird, just like you're also probably going to have to, and I'm not saying this is a guarantee, but they're probably going to look into locking up Butler long-term at some point or another. Just picking him up from Chicago, but they have one of my favorite players in the league, and I think in a season or two might be considered a top five talent in Towns, and they're going to build the franchise around him. But it is going to take a guard, an elite guard, at some point to take this team over the top.
Yeah, I think the Jeff Teague thing is what really holds him back in this trade. If they're able to maybe move Jeff Teague in this trade, I think it would probably work. What I was thinking, I didn't really think about this in the past, is, you know, get a third or fourth team involved and send Wiggins that way and maybe send some other players to the Cavs, you know, because we mentioned the relationship might not necessarily be there, being drafted by Cleveland, traded for Kevin Love, you know. But like you guys mentioned, there'd still be some type of issue with Kyrie and Jeff Teague in the backcourt. Maybe at some point they try to move Jeff Teague. They could probably make it work maybe just because, you know, the league is going so small. But it'd be tough with the amount of, like, usage rate for everybody because we know Butler does a lot of stuff in ISO, you know, but he can be a little bit more off ball. But Kyrie likes to have the ball in his hands. Jeff Teague, to be effective, needs a ball in his hands. So it'd be kind of a weird, weird situation with the Teague factor.
Yeah,
I honestly think if you threw in a guy like Kyrie, just like you mentioned, Harris, with how good Towns could possibly be within the next 2 years, I feel like if you bring in a guy who's so isolated, heavy already in Kyrie, you know, Jimmy Butler is somewhat times, I think it might really stunt the growth of Karl-Anthony Towns.
Good point. That's a good point.
Yeah, Kyrie would definitely have to adapt his game and play more pick and roll, to make Towns get the best out of him. The only probably other thing I would maybe mention is that Kyrie's never played with a pick and roll player that can roll like, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns. Tristan Thompson's a good roller, but I don't think he's on the same level of Towns.
Is Rubio still on the roster?
No, Rubio, Utah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So who's the backup point guard?
Backup point guard.
Tyus Jones.
Yeah, probably Tyus Jones unless they go out and sign a veteran. So
because they do need at some point they need a pass. I mean, Jeff Teague is probably not the long term option, but at some point they want to pair Towns up with a really pass first point guard, in my opinion, to try to, like Corey just said, try to elevate his game to even a higher level.
See what happens with Teague though. I mean, they signed him to a pretty long deal, and you know, he did have a good year in Indiana. It's just about him being consistent. I think with less pressure, having a player like Towns and Butler will let him play better. But moving on to another team, New York Knicks, they've been mentioned. Kyrie's from New Jersey. He wants to play close to home. That's a report out there. Do you guys think that Kyrie to New York is a real possibility, or the fact that Melo won't waive his no-trade clause for Cleveland is going to prevent this trade from happening?
Just like you just said, because Melo's unwilling to go to Cleveland, this trade won't happen. Because if you're Cleveland, if you're not getting Melo back, you're not really getting anything in value, unless it's like a three-team or a four-team trade. The Knicks just don't have anything that's, you know, who do you want? Lance Thomas? Kylo Quinn. Like, none of those guys help Cleveland if you're getting rid of Kyrie. Don't really have any draft picks. I guess maybe if you got that Frank, whatever.
Frank
I can't
Ntilikina.
Say his last name.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if Carmelo doesn't want to go to Cleveland, then there's no way Kyrie going to New York.
Yeah, exactly. If he wants to be the guy that's supposed to be the lead guard and be the man, so to speak. But, yeah, if they can't get Carmelo to want to go to Cleveland, that's a non-starter.
Yeah, and it sounds like a dream situation for everyone in here in New York. Haven't had a really good guard since what seems like forever here. And he's close to home, and he's obviously young, 24, 25 years of age, playing alongside KP. But unless there's another team involved, like Corey said, this is not going to happen, I think, head-to-head, Knicks-Cavs. I think they're going to have to either slide like Houston or Phoenix or somebody else going to become involved, because – if you think about it, Melo, K-Love, LeBron, just a lot of forwards. I just don't know if the Cleveland Cavaliers will make this deal straight up with the Knicks. And I don't think Carmelo will waive his no trade.
Yeah, they definitely wouldn't make it straight up. It would still probably be, even if Carmelo waived his no trade clause, I think the Cavs would still be looking for, you know, two first round picks, or maybe Frank Ntilikina and a first round pick, or, you know, maybe they want Willie Hermann Gomez. I just don't know if they have enough to make it happen as a one-on-one trade. Like you guys mentioned, the three or four team trade, you know, maybe moving Melo to Houston. They need to find somebody who would want to take on Ryan Anderson's contract. A lot of moving parts. Go ahead.
I think the Knicks will trade anybody on their roster and draft picks, excluding Kristaps Porzingis. I think they'd look into the future. They'd dig into the future. They'd probably repeat some of the same mistakes they've made in prior trades. And I think they'd do absolutely anything besides trade up Porzingis.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Porzingis is the only guy that's untouchable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been reported they're not willing to do the two first-round picks, but we'll see what happens with that. I mean, it definitely would be big for Kyrie, and obviously we know anybody who wins in New York, it's a, you know, a big thing. But the roster still wouldn't be great, and it would be mostly, you know, Porzingis and Tim Hardaway Jr. and Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, there's a lot of work to do there still, and Phil Jackson put them in a pretty bad spot.
Yeah, at least I got rid of Phil, but, you know, moving on from there, Miami, they've been mentioned. Pat Riley seems to be mentioned every time there's a big-name free agent or trade available. You know, Pat Riley's in there. The only problem for the Heat is they have no first-round picks available to trade until, I think, 2023. So there's some issues making that kind of move happen.
Yeah, besides Phoenix, this is probably the best destination for possibly landing Kyrie Irving, in my opinion. I know that it was reported that the Heat had offered Goran Dragic and Justice Winslow for Kyrie, and then Miami came out later last night and said they never offered that for Kyrie. So, you know, the classic he said, she said, the NBA. But, you know, they have a few young pieces, you know, and Josh Richardson, Justice Winslow, you know, they have Goran Dragic. So Kyrie down there, South Beach, you're obviously going to be in the spotlight. You have Hassan Whiteside. I'm not totally sure a Deion Waiters and Kyrie Irving backcourt would be totally welcome between the two after they got in Cleveland. But it could be interesting if you wanted to be the man.
Yeah, but I definitely like Miami a lot for Kyrie. If they can put a trade together that would entice Cleveland at all, you know. Finally, you know, it's kind of always mentioned when somebody's available like this. He's got his own pedigree. It'd be a decent fit, you know, in terms of with like Whiteside and Kelly Olynyk and maybe with Waiters. If Waiters can, you know, coexist with Kyrie again.
Yeah, you got
even rid of Dragic and probably Winslow to even get Cleveland's attention.
Yeah, and you guys are talking personnel. I'm talking matchup. It would be interesting to see LeBron head down to Miami, and obviously he's not welcomed as a player, and now he's got a matchup against Kyrie, the former Cavalier star. So that, to me, would also kind of be interesting to see those two go head-to-head, and obviously Miami would take a tremendous boost. Still not the team Cleveland would be, but I think that matchup between those two would be interesting.
Yeah, there's been some talk about maybe Miami if they're throwing the Bam Adebayo, throw him in the trade. You know, that possibly could make it happen. Two young pieces and him and Justice Winslow, and then Dragic kind of fills in the point guard position. So yeah, that would be something to kind of look at. But I think the lack of first-round picks is what's going to make this trade not possible. And then the final team is the Spurs.
Oh,
and,
boy.
The Spurs, I don't know if they make it happen. They'd have to get another team involved because I don't think they necessarily have the assets to pull the trade off, but you never know with the Spurs.
All I have to say is the two just don't make sense because in any top offense, he's not going to let Kyrie just play ISO ball for an entire quarter, especially with Kawhi Leonard on the court.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, exactly, and think about this. If he wants, he doesn't want to be the son to LeBron. You think you're not going to be the son to Kawhi Leonard?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I don't see how that works. And I don't think that's probably a likely scenario. Go ahead, Harris.
That's an anti-fun zone on the offensive end. No, I'm just kidding. They actually do have a lot of fun. They move the ball. They play team ISO. No ISO, team ball. And we've seen how that offense could be effective. And just like I was telling other people, when someone told me about Carmelo possibly going to San Antonio, I said, are you crazy? It makes absolutely zero sense, just like this does. I mean, Kyrie maybe a little bit more unselfish, but fitting in this offense, this motion offense with Greg Popovich, like Corey says, makes absolutely zero sense.
I mean, we'll see what happens. If you guys had to pick a team, where do you think he's the most likely to land? Maybe a team that's not mentioned on this list, or a team that might come out of nowhere, or one of these teams. Who do you think, you know, lands him?
I think I'd say either Phoenix or Miami.
I don't know. I'm going to say between the Knicks and the Heat. I think the Knicks are going to throw the kitchen sink. I still think they're the second most likely option, and I'm gonna throw the Knicks and the Heat in my top two and make some of my fellow New Yorkers happy with the possibility of that. But I'm going to throw the Miami Heat and Knicks as the top two destinations for them.
I mean, for me, I think the Suns is a likely possibility, or them being involved in some type of way. The Knicks are tough, you know, unless they're able to get Melo. And for the Heat, for me, it's just tough to see that with the fact that they don't have the first round picks to throw in there. And I think that's something the Cavaliers are definitely looking towards.
So you're going to say the Suns?
I was going to say the Suns, and another team I'd watch for is probably the Nuggets, because, you know, they have what I've mentioned before is an array of assets from, you know, role players, young assets, first round picks that they could possibly make a move, and that kind of be an interesting pairing. And it's been mentioned that Denver's been pretty low in terms of attendance. So, you know, adding some star power definitely built some hype for that franchise. And they're moving forward, signing Paul Millsap this summer, Nikola Jokic picking up, you know, looking like one of the top young bigs. So that'd be an interesting situation too.
I couldn't imagine what this would do. Like, is there ever, you think about, they talk about the Mecca and all the time and a garden, all that stuff, but has there ever been a franchise more starving for an opportunity like this than the New York Knicks? Obviously we know about their failures, and we know how they haven't been a successful postseason team. They made the playoffs in 2013, made the second round. But obviously, other than that, 04 got swept, 2000 was the last time before that. So this city would be on fire if they were able to pull this off. I know it's unlikely, but I kind of in the back of my mind want to see the Knicks fans happy. I think they deserve it. I really do. And listen, I know you hate them, Nick, and I know you're anti-Knicks, but I think the fan base deserves it.
Well, this would be, you know, Kyrie's best opportunity to kind of lead the show. Obviously, Porzingis doesn't really handle the ball a ton. He'd still want his shots, but they don't have a ton of pieces there. I think, you know, but for the Knicks, does it make sense to actually make this move? You know, if you have to give up two first-round picks, are you making a mistake you made in the past and not just doing the slow rebuild? Because, you know, Porzingis and Kyrie aren't going to win you a championship. You know, there needs to be other big pieces in there to push you
That's
to another
true.
Level. So it's like, you know, from one perspective, it depends on what you're giving up to get Kyrie, if it does make sense to bring him to New York.
Yeah, they're like I said, that team's not going to be great defensively. Porzingis can make up for some things as far as his, you know, his defensive presence goes, and he could come over on the weak side. But Kyrie's not a great defender. Tim Hardaway Jr. is not a great defender. This team will probably be in a lot of 115, 113 games.
Exactly. So, I mean, it definitely would be something. I mean, it'd still be fun to watch. Like, don't get me wrong. It'd actually be enjoyable. And if I was a Knicks fan, I definitely want it to happen.
Yeah.
Talking about Knicks point guards, you mentioned this before. Derrick Rose decided to sign with the Cavs on a veteran minimum deal, one-year deal. What do you think he's going to bring to the Cavs? Just let's assume Kyrie stays or Kyrie goes, and he's still in the backup role regardless. Do you think in the backup role that Derrick Rose is going to give this team an extra pop?
I would – you know, the interesting thing about Derrick Rose is if he's healthy, you know, he's going to give you, you know, 15 to 20 points a game. I just don't know how frustrating it would be for LeBron to play with a guy who doesn't play defense and can't shoot. So he's just very one-sided. And obviously, it would be ideal if Kyrie was to stay and you had D-Rose coming off the bench, I think, just to have the scoring punch, because the Cavs haven't had a guy who can come off the bench and give them, you know, 15 to 20. But you know, it's at least a stepping stone if you do lose Kyrie to have a guy like Derrick Rose.
Yeah, they say Cleveland's interest in Derrick Rose was independent of Kyrie's trade request, which seems a little bit unbelievable to me. But Rose could be a good bench piece, like Corey said. You know, they need some bench scoring, you know, beyond LeBron and whoever else is going to be there next year. They could use some depth and somebody that can carry the offense when LeBron sits out.
Yeah, I watched – obviously, being in here, living in here in New York, I watched Derrick Rose here. And what he played in 65 games, and that felt like about 50 too many. I don't know. I don't mean to – I don't mean – No, I don't want to come down on Derrick Rose too hard, but I don't know. It just sucks to see somebody go from a certain level and fall off to and play at a certain level that he is now. Can he come off and play some productive minutes on a very good team? Yeah, but how many? Do you want Derrick Rose out there for 30 minutes for the Cavaliers? No, I don't think so. I don't think defensively he was very good last year. I don't think he rebounded very well. I don't think he playmade extremely well. He scored, about 16 to 18 points a game. He had some decent offensive nights, but I think anything more than 22 to 24 in Cleveland is going to be too many.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the price they got him for and the limit opportunities they have with their cap and their salary, you know, they don't really have much opportunities to make moves. And Rose is a talented player, and I've mentioned this before. If anybody's going to get the best out of somebody, it's LeBron. Yep. Like you guys mentioned, in the backup role, it makes sense. I would not want him as a starter.
Yeah, watch him go back to his MVP role next to LeBron. and now they have two MVPs out there with Kevin Love.
I mean, the shooting is definitely an issue, but if he comes off as that, like, you know, that extra energy off the bench and just scores the 10 or 12 driving to the rim when LeBron takes a break, you know, last year was such an issue when LeBron hit the bench. That can be effective. Obviously, he needs to pick up his defense. And he just needs to stay healthy and just, you know, kind of mind his own business, no off the court problems. You know, this is a championship type team.
I just can't wait for the first time he gets beat on a backdoor screen and LeBron just stares him down with the desk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be funny.
And the weird thing is, it was reported that LeBron and Derrick Rose didn't necessarily have a great relationship. It wasn't like they had a bad relationship. It was more like they didn't have any relationship. And people had mentioned that, you know, Rose didn't really recruit LeBron when he was a free agent back in the day when he signed with Miami. He preferred Joe Johnson or somebody else, and he didn't really want LeBron to come to Chicago.
Unless you defend at a very high level, you're gonna be in some disagreements with LeBron throughout the course of the regular season and postseason.
Yeah, and you at least got to put the effort in.
Yeah.
Hey, another, you know, I know we just said Harris just made a point not to look into this, but Derrick Rose and LeBron have been playing together in Las Vegas too.
Yeah,
they've been training. I mean, that does help, and I mean, surrounding Derrick Rose with somebody like LeBron should help him in the sense of just training and the mentality that, you know, he elevates the play of his teammates and he makes you want to be great.
There's rumors they've texted, they've Snapchatted. They've done everything together, you know. So
they have a really, Snapchat streak.
Yeah, they have a streak. That's going to make a big difference come the regular season. They're getting to know each other's face a little bit better. No, I don't know. I think he's going to be okay. If there's anybody that could take him from where he was last year to a higher level and closer to the Rose that we know, it's definitely LeBron James. And so he'll have that opportunity this season.
It's low risk, high reward. You know,
yeah,
it's, like it's a lot of money and they have no cap, so they're not going to get many players. Derrick Rose obviously isn't super efficient, and like we mentioned, his flaws, but he's still a talented guy to bring in.
But I have a question for the panel.
Okay.
So I saw this on Twitter a couple days ago. When D. Rose was the MVP, was he just freakishly athletic so we didn't see his flaws? Or have these flaws just developed because he's been hurt?
I think it's a little of both. I think he was just so good at getting to the rim and imposing his will that we didn't notice he couldn't shoot three-pointers because the league wasn't quite tilted that way yet. And then when he started getting
tearing
his knees up, he lost some of that.
And Brad makes a great point about the league not being tilted that way. And also, look who was his head coach in Chicago?
Tibbs. Yeah.
Tibbs. I mean, that team was very good in the half-court defense. And was Butler on that team yet too? Or no, he wasn't even on that team.
Butler came along at some point.
Yeah, I mean, so they had a very good defensive team, and they hid his flaws to the best of their ability, and he was maybe the best athlete this league. I mean, outside of – you could put Jordan, obviously, in the category. You obviously throw some – there are certain athletes that were better, but was there ever a guy quicker to the rim in the NBA's history?
And not to mention he was quick to the rim and he was explosive. I think that's what made it so difficult. You know, he got to a certain point in the paint that it was a guaranteed bucket.
I think he was the quickest guy to the rim that I've ever seen off the dribble.
He definitely, and he can still get to the rim. You know, like he can still get to the rim. He just can't finish quite the same way. It's more off the glass stuff, yeah, more under the rim type of thing. I think to, you know, answer Corey's question, it's a combination of both. Oh. Obviously, the lack of shooting is going to be an issue in this league at this point. You know, with the, like Brad mentioned, the league changing. If you can't shoot at three, it's tough to be a starting point guard, to be honest.
Yeah.
The spacing on the floor is just so important with the athleticism of the players nowadays and the length. You know, you need to be able to create space for your team, and one way you can do that is shooting the three ball, and D-Rose just can't do that efficiently. And obviously, you know, attacking the rim, he's obviously going to be a lot more efficient being athletic, taking bad shots, you know, shooting over the top of players when you're not at that level. And, you know, that seven-foot guy that can jump 3 feet in the air is going to seem a lot more intimidating if you could, you know, get over him or get under him. So, I mean, I think it's a combination of, you know, and then also I think some of it is basketball IQ. I think on the Knicks last year, Harris mentioned it was a tough watch. There were some plays where it was definitely things didn't go right. And you think from the Knicks perspective, they'd want Derrick Rose to get Porzingis more involved. In some games, it felt like Porzingis wasn't getting the ball enough.
Could it be also the triangle played a factor in that, though?
That too, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, who knows how much they really ran the triangle, but it was more like a square at times. But
It was just the chemistry and the overall offense and not everybody being on the same page. It was just a bad situation.
He's not going to have to do as much, which is going to save his energy a little bit. So you're going to see a flashes. You're going to see some highlights and flashes. You're going to say, wow, that looks like D Rose from a few years ago. Why is that? Well, he played 18 minutes a game and he's got the best player in the world on his team. So,
and he can't be as bad as Deron Williams was in the finals.
Yeah,
no, it can't be.
So, I mean, you know, they get that. Before we get off the Kyrie stuff, we're going to touch a little bit on Pacer stuff. You know, Dan Gilbert took a shot at the Pacers saying they could have got a better deal for Paul George. It was reported this week that, you know, the deal didn't fall through because the Pacers pulled out. The deal didn't go through because the Cavs didn't want to they wanted to protect their pick. So, you know, the Cavs would have ended up with Paul George. Kevin Love would have went to Denver and the Pacers would have got a first round pick and Gary Harris Jr. What do you guys think about this trade? You think it should have happened? It was a smart move for the Cavs to protect their pick without knowing what LeBron's going to do.
I mean, I don't think it was a bad move for the Pacers, only because, you know, you're getting Gary Harris. He's a solid defender, a good three-point shooter, but we really don't know how far he's going to develop. And then, like, you know, for Cleveland, you know, why would you even want to protect that pick? I get it. If you lose LeBron, you know, that draft pick becomes valuable again. But, I mean, if you're the Pacers, obviously you don't want that pick protected. I mean – it makes no sense for you. You're giving up Paul George. I disagree with Gilbert. This was not the best deal the Pacers had.
Yeah, I agree too. Dan Gilbert needs to know his place at times, I think. But yeah, Cleveland wanting the lottery to protect a draft pick at this point seems just weird. Even if LeBron leaves, you're playing for a doomsday scenario. Oh, we're gonna have a top five pick. We want to.
I'm not even sure that Paul George and LeBron would be the best fit. And I mean, Dan Gilbert's got to keep his mouth shut. It's not the first time. And before you know it, we'll see another immature Comic Sans letter about all this nonsense. But I think the OKC thing worked out. I'm actually really, I don't know about you guys, really looking forward to seeing Paul George alongside Westbrook in Oklahoma City this upcoming season.
No, that's definitely going to be fun.
Yeah,
that'll definitely be interesting. I mean, it's tough to say. We don't know what the Pacers have on the board. Personally, I probably prefer Gary Harris Jr. over Victor Oladipo just because I like more consistent players, and Oladipo just seems to be all over the place. The protection thing from the Cavs perspective, you think they wouldn't really matter about it because if you get Paul George, you would assume that helps you keep LeBron. But, I mean, I could see why that trade would have worked. There was a report came out this week that the Pacers, you know, back then offered Paul George straight up for Kyrie. If the Cavs have known that Kyrie wanted to be traded, do you think they would have accepted that trade? Some type of way, maybe another player involved, but, you know, overall the main pieces were Paul George for Kyrie Irving.
They probably would have been more inclined to make a deal. I'm not sure what, you know, what picks would have been involved or who else would have been, you know, involved. But from the Pacers perspective, if you can get Kyrie for 2 years and you're giving up Paul George who wants out, I mean, that's a win for the Pacers if that deal went through.
Yep, I agree. I think it would have happened. You know, maybe some other pieces involved somehow, but I think both sides would have done it. If Cleveland knew Kyrie wanted to be traded, they'd have done that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that seemed like the right move, and you don't want to lose Paul George for absolutely nothing. And, well, didn't lose him for nothing, but again, a Kyrie would have been – would have been a nice little bonus there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Cavs might have wanted to maybe throw in some expiring, like some bad contracts, or maybe grab a pick in that. But I think overall, it probably would have made more sense. Obviously, Kyrie has a little bit more value in the sense that he's on the 2 years, and there's always that potential of Paul George leaving, going to LA.
And Harris, they didn't give up Paul George for nothing, but let me tell you, it sure feels like nothing.
Yeah. Wait, tell me exactly what they gave up for again. What would they get?
They got Sabonis and Victor Oladipo for Paul George.
Yeah, Domantas Sabonis, yeah. Arvydas Sabonis' son from back in the day.
Yeah, and Victor, you saying Oladipo's going to have a bad year?
Well, no, I don't know. There's a lot of guards right now in the Pacers. So between him and Lance Stephenson and Glenn Rouse, it'll be interesting. But
man, the Pacers are going to have a really rough year. Doesn't it feel that way?
Yeah. It's going to be a – the nice uniforms and new stadium will probably be the best thing about the Pacers this year.
Oh, man, that's going to suck.
It's just always tough when you lose a player in the caliber of Paul George.
Yeah.
You know, there's not really much you can do. Obviously, it's nice that the Pacers do have Miles Turner, though, so it's not, like, all negative in Pacer land, you know, so.
Guys, my starting point guard is Corey Joseph. I mean,
enough said.
Yeah.
I mean, the Pacers still have their first-round pick next year, so.
Corey, you're a Pacer fan?
Yeah.
I totally forgot that. I didn't know they had any. I didn't know they had any. I didn't think they had any fans left after that trip.
Oh wow, Harris was just low blow.
This is like Game of Thrones in here.
Oh. No, they'll recover though. They have some young pieces, and they'll be able to build off those guys. They'll recover from this, Corey.
At some point,
I'm sure.
But moving on to a team that's looking to recover, actually, you know, brings us to our next point. Another trade that happened this week. The Nets traded for Allen Crabbe. They traded Andrew Nicholson to Portland for Allen Crabbe. This is a guy they signed to an offer sheet last year. Portland match. So this is a bit of an ironic trade. What are your guys' first thoughts when you saw this happen?
Sean Marks is just looking like, again and again, he's got to be in the top 10 GMs right now in the league. He just keeps making moves. You know, they just keep adding these pieces. It's obviously really ironic. We mentioned this on the last pod I was on. You know, they put an offer sheet out to Otto Porter Jr. this year. Last year, Tyler Johnson, Allen Crabbe, and then they get their guy Allen Crabbe this year. Mm. You know, he just keeps adding the right young players to build around. You know, now D'Lo and this really young Nets core. You know, the future just looks really bright for Brooklyn.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was just kind of odd that, you know, they signed Crabbe to the offer sheet to Portland match, and then they take on the contract a year later. But it looks like a good move. Portland gets underneath the luxury tax a little bit better. They can spread out Nicholson's contract for the next few years to decrease their cap hit and luxury tax threshold. But I'm actually right with Corey on the Nets. They're doing the right thing. Sean Marks is turning into kind of a rebuild, but they're adding talent. They're making trades. They're adding assets.
Yeah, we go from one unhappy fan base to Faye being the happy fan base. But this trade actually prompted Nick to make the poll about who was going to win more games this year, the Knicks or the Nets. He's feeling very, very good about his Brooklyn Nets. And I like this a lot. You know, you guys have always known, or at least I think Nick knows, that I'm a big fan of Crabbe. I think he's one of the better role players in the league. I think he's going to help them.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, obviously the contract of Crabbe, you know, might seem overpaid, $18 million a year, but they do get rid of Andrew Nicholson, who they had under contract for $6 million a year. So they're really paying Crabbe about $12 million a year. Crabbe second in the league last year in three-point shooting. I think he shot around 44%. You know, I posted a little thread about the Nets improving their three-point shooting this offseason.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yep, and Crabbe, you know, obviously shooting that percentage is going to help a lot. The Nets shot, you know, I think top six in the league last year in threes. So it definitely makes sense. And like to touch on your points about Sean Marks, you know, he turned Justin Hamilton and Andrew Nicholson into Allen Crabbe, Damari Carroll, a first-round pick and a second-round pick. You know, you can't really beat that. Obviously, the Nets haven't been able to land big free agents, but they've taken advantage of their cap space and, you know, trades.
Yep.
It's, you know, so. And last year Brooklyn was one of those teams where, you know, they didn't get blown out a lot. I know we've mentioned this. They were a team that was just, you know, they always were just gnawing. They're one of those teams that you had to battle till the end. And, you know, adding kind of like role players like this, who knows? They could arguably win, you know, in my opinion, 30 to 35 games.
Yeah, they're definitely in the Eastern Conference. Definitely going to be interesting. Jeremy Lin hopefully stays healthy. We mentioned they added D'Angelo Russell. Obviously, Sean Marks said they might not be done yet. There's a need for probably another big.
I know this might sound like a silly question because you guys have followed the offseason closer than me, but Brooke Lopez is still on the roster, right?
No.
Brook Lopez was traded to the Lakers for D'Angelo Russell in Timothy Moskoff's contract.
So you like that trade?
Yeah. Brook Lopez was on a one-year deal expiring, so you know they're able to pick up a young talent, and D'Angelo Russell was the second overall pick 2 years ago and has the potential to be the franchise cornerstone.
So they're gonna start Moskoff with Lynn and Russell in the backcourt, or just Lynn?
If you want my prediction for the Nets, you know, start.
I would love your prediction for the Nets.
I would say as of right now, Jeremy Lin at the one, D'Angelo Russell at the two, Alan Crabb at the three, and it's going to probably be a battle between Damari Carroll and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson at the four. I think they'll probably go with – I think they're probably going to go for with Carroll to start, and maybe Rondae picks it up later in the season, and Moskov at center. I think they want to have three-point shooting on the floor to surround Lin and Russell when they penetrate. It'll be, you know, I think it'll work out. I don't know how many games the Nets are going to win. I still want to see what their last move is before I make that prediction. But they will play hard long as they stay healthy.
And I think you're going to miss Brook Lopez.
Brook's definitely one of my favorite players. And I don't know if I threw this out there. I bought a Brook Lopez authentic jersey this summer, and I have a curse. So if I buy a Nets jersey, that player is like a lock to be traded. It just happens. I have Jason Kidd. I got a Jason Kidd authentic. 2 months later, he got traded to Dallas. You know, I had a Vince Carter jersey. I got traded to Orlando. I had a Devin Harris jersey. Got traded to Utah. I had a Darren Williams jersey. Yeah. He got cut. Brook Lopez didn't even get to wear it one time before he was traded.
Wow.
You know, some collector's items then.
They're retro. They're really retro, though.
Yeah, retro.
Yeah, I mean, the Jason Kidd one has some value to me, and Vince Carter, when he retires, will have some value. And same with Brook. But, I mean, I guess I got to hold off on getting a D'Angelo Russell and a Caris LeVert jersey just for the sake of the Nets.
I want to apologize, too, Nick, because I remember near the deadline, I was telling you just to buy it. I was like, just buy it. They're never going to trade him. He's been there for so – you know, every year there's rumors. So
we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. I'm pretty excited with the offseason. Like I mentioned, the added three-point shooting should make a big difference for the team. And, you know, they're going to play hard and see what happens in the Eastern Conference. Talking about the other team in New York, we mentioned them before, the Knicks. They picked up Ramon Sessions. What do you guys think about this move? We're going to talk about Melo in a little bit. What do you think about the Knicks picking up Sessions as their point guard?
Who would have thought Sessions would get paid more than Derrick Rose going into this offseason?
Ron Baker's getting paid more than Derrick Rose, if I'm not mistaken.
Come on. Ron Baker plays hard on both ends of the floor. Come on.
Come on. More than Derrick Rose, though?
No, I know. It's a little ridiculous, yeah.
Especially the reports about Derrick Rose in January thinking he was going to get a max contract and then he has to settle for that. It just –
Ron Baker's too fast. Ron Baker's going to have a big year right in your face, Nick.
He can try.
That's about it, though. So that's, you know, it's a solid veteran point guard to add around, you know, Frank and Ron Baker. It doesn't wow me. It's just the Knicks being the Knicks at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that Sessions is going to make more than Rose, but yeah, he's good. He's a good backup point guard, good veteran guy to mentor Keno, however you pronounce his last name, their first round pick.
Yeah, I actually, when I heard about this, I think this was a positive. You're paying him barely anything, the veteran's minimum, to come in here and to mentor some of the younger players. Obviously, like you talked about, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the last name, but Frank, the eighth pick in the draft. And also – that's what I'll call him. And also with Sessions, I think he's not the best shooter in the world, but I do think he's got a good basketball IQ, and he's been in the NBA for a while. So I think it's going to help some of the younger guards.
Well, they definitely needed to get a veteran ball handler. So, you know, kind of guy for the minimum, whatever. You know, I don't think the Knicks are looking to make, you know, a big splash this year. They kind of understand they need to make up for the mistakes that Phil made. So they need to kind of rebuild a little bit slower. We talked about Melo a little bit before. What do you guys think about Melo? Do you think he ends up getting moved or he has to sit on the Knicks because they can't find a trade that works with Houston?
I don't think he'll be in the blue and orange next year at all.
Oh.
I'm saying that I just think there's one or two scenarios that ways this happens. He either gets traded to Houston. Maybe they bring back that deal that was apparently on the 2-yard line that fell apart before, you know, the Knicks rescinded and said they weren't going to trade Melo. Or I think the doomsday scenario of them buying out Carmelo is still very much in play, even though they're very adamant about not doing it. I still believe if he doesn't want to go to Cleveland for a Kyrie trade, if you can't get him to Houston – I just don't know how, after everything that has transpired this past year between Phil and Melo and the constant drama that Melo had to go through, after being one of the most loyal guys the Knicks have had in recent years, why he would want to go back to that organization and give them anything. I just find it hard to believe.
Yeah, I think Carmelo is going to sit probably till the trade deadline now. It's getting a little late in the process.
Yeah.
Unless they really re-engage with Houston, he doesn't want to go to Cleveland. Carmelo might just have to be a Nick until somewhere near the trade deadline next year.
I don't even know if he minds being a Nick, though. That's the thing.
I think of all this like La-La talk, I don't think that really plays a role in any of it with his relationship with her and all that other stuff. But I think if he didn't have the ability to have a say in this as far as waiving the no trade, then this might have been done already. I think the fact that he has that power, I agree with Brad. I think this is going to sit. I think he's going to start the season as a Nick. And I think he possibly gets moved at the deadline, but I don't think this is going to happen before the start of the season.
It almost like it depends more on what Melo wants than what the actual Knicks wants, because it's been reported, and Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum have made it known that Portland has interest in Carmelo.
Yeah.
And it seems like the Knicks might have interest in maybe a trade package they could throw at them. You know, not necessarily getting, you know, they're not going to get great value for Melo. The fact that he's, you know, 30 plus,
yeah.
Phil Jackson ruined all leverage they had, and that situation is toxic, and people kind of know the direction the Knicks are going. So it's almost on Melo if he's willing to kind of move his no trade clause. It's just really tough to see a scenario where Houston's able to make it work unless they can get four teams involved.
It's already probably been the most active one, or at least the top three active off seasons in NBA history. I mean, all of this player movement of top players, you think about Paul George, and you think about, I think you just talked about even Brooke Lopez. You talk about
Jimmy Butler, Chris Paul, Gordon Hayward.
It goes on and on and on. But and then imagine just Melo and Kyrie getting added into this mix. It would be incredible. But I think Kyrie more like, I don't know if this wasn't the question, but I'll propose to you guys. I think Kyrie more likely than Melo to get moved before the start of the season.
Ooh, that's I disagree, because I still, if I'm Cleveland, I sit down Kyrie. I just say shut your mouth. You got 2 years left. We're not moving you.
I don't know,
because you're 24, and in 2 years, LeBron might not even be here, so you can have the own team to yourself. But
if I had to pick one, it would be Kyrie. All of the two would move before the start of the season. I'll be Kyrie.
It's going to be interesting.
It's tough. I could honestly see a deal where they're both moved in the same one, usually when you have contracts of that aspect. But I think I'm going to agree with Corey, is that I think the Knicks are more forceful to have to move Melo, where maybe the Kyrie situation could be kind of fixed in a sense. Or, you know, the Cavs have no – there's no, like, forced move that they have to move him. You know, there's nothing that's saying, like, oh, Kyrie, you have to get moved. Like, they might be able to fix the relationship. You never know. Kyrie's, in, I think, in a Nike tour in China right now. So maybe when he comes back, him and LeBron talk it out, or – you don't know. It just seems like the Knicks have been in talks for Melo, and then the report that it was on the 2-yard line.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like that's likely to happen. I don't know.
It's not the first thing that would be stopped on the 2-line. I remember that Titans Rams Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Back in 1999 that got stopped.
I remember that Super Bowl just that happened. Russell Wilson threw an interception instead of giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch.
Hey, listen. This New York thing with Carmelo and just being in New York and seeing him for the last 4 or 5 years, this endorsement stuff means a lot to him. This money thing off the floor means a lot to him. I think being in the Big Apple means a lot to him. I think obviously there's been a lot of trade talk, but I think there's a little stronger than a 50% chance that he stays and he tries to figure this thing out with Porzingis.
We'll see what happens. You know, we can't really – we don't know what's really
going on. It's really all speculation.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but, you know, touch on a point that you mentioned before. Well, I'll propose a question to you guys. We posted a poll on Twitter. Who's going to have a better season, the Knicks or the Nets?
If the Knicks get Kyrie Irving, I'll say the Knicks. If the Knicks don't get Kyrie Irving, then it's the Nets.
All right, so either way, it's going to be the Nets.
Thanks, Brad.
I know she's putting the Nets on the NFC.
No,
40 wins.
I don't think so.
In the East, and
he's
somewhere around 40 wins.
Who's the best player on the Nets going into this season?
D'Lo.
D'Angelo Russell.
I like Porzingis a little better. I'll take the Knicks.
But, I mean, you can't base it off one player.
But
who else is on the Knicks? That's going to, like
– Wait, you know, Hernan Gomez isn't decent?
He's decent, but I mean, it's not like he's a showstopper. I mean,
no, I'm not saying. I'm saying Tim Hardaway Jr. is a decent player too.
But that's about it.
True. They'll find guys around those guys.
I don't think so. I think the Nets. I think I'll have a better season, even if they do get Kyrie. Because I look at it this way. In the
wait, so Carmelo? You telling me that Carmelo's done now? He's gone in New York.
I'm saying even if he stays in New York, I still think they'll be better. Because look at the Knicks last season.
They won 31 games. How many did the Nets win?
They won 20, and Jeremy Lin missed 60 games. They finished the season around 500 when Jeremy Lin played. So I mean, I think they'll be fine. They have more depth on their team. They have more pieces. They have a better coach. They have a better organization. I think things are going a lot smoother in Brooklyn than they are going Manhattan.
Okay.
And I think that plays a big influence.
Right now the Knicks starting lineup next year, you know, depending on who they want to start at point guard, is going to be either Baker or the rookie.
Yeah, let's assume Sessions.
Because and then you have Tim.
Yeah, go ahead, Corey.
Sessions, Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee, and then Melo. If Melo stays, Melo at the four, and then Porzingis.
No. They're going to start Melo at the three, Porzingis at the four, Hernan Gomez at the five.
So who comes out the bench? Tim Hardaway Jr. for $71 million or Courtney Lee for $45 million?
Good point.
Wait, Tim Hardaway starting at the two.
Then where's Courtney Lee going? Because you just paid him $48 million.
Courtney Lee can't come off the bench.
But you're paying him $48 million to come off the bench.
He's going to play the three. Courtney Lee at 6'4 is going to 6'5 is going to play the three in the NBA.
Harris, it's small ball. Everyone plays that at that height anymore at the two and the
Tim three. Hardaway played a lot of minutes at the three next year, but you're right, Corey. That's an interesting point. Tim Hardaway Jr., I think they're going to probably start him because he's a young piece. They're going to bring Courtney off the bench.
Oh, so Melo is going to have to play the four and Porzingis is going to have to play the five.
No, I think they'd probably start Herman Gomez. And I think they'd probably go Willie Herman Gomez, Porzingis, Carmelo, Tim Hardaway Jr., and then Ramon Sessions. They'd probably bring Lee off the bench and just pay him all out of money. And then, you know, bring Joakim Noah off the bench as well. And then see what happens from there. I think if I'm looking at the Nets starting lineup, I told you before, I'd probably go D'Angelo Russell, Jeremy Lin, Allen Crabbe, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, and Timothy Mozgov. And then I'm bringing off Damari Carroll off the bench, Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, Trevor Booker.
It's small ball, but who plays small forward for the Warriors?
That's true.
Well,
on a different scale.
The best small ball team in the league.
I'm saying how tall is their small forward?
Well, it's Kevin Durant in certain situations, and he's 7 foot.
Right, I'm just saying, it's tough to put Courtney Lee on certain small – I'm not saying that the Knicks are going to be able to guard the Warriors. Not what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying I think it's hard to put a 6'5 guy out there at the three. I'm just saying. I think that's hard to do. It's hard to do.
I agree, but, I mean, think about the Cavs did it last year. The Cavs in the finals had LeBron playing the five, and they had Shumpert and JR at the three.
Shumpert and JR started last year?
I'm just talking about a lineup that they had.
At certain positions, yeah. I just think the Knicks might be tempted to put Hernan Gomez out there to start. That's all.
No, I think they definitely start Hernan Gomez. I think, but Corey brings up the point that they're going to be paying two shooting guards, you know, a lot of money.
I think Tim Hardaway is going to have a really good season. I really do. I really do. I think a lot of people are hating on that signing. I think he's going to have a really good season.
I mean, he got the money to have a really good season, so we'll see what happens.
Well, a lot of people
more money. He's making more money on his new deal than his old man did in his whole career.
Well, he's making more money than Dion Waiters, and I'm not positive that he's better than Dion Waiters at this point in time.
Wait, whoa, what'd you say?
He's making more money than Dion Waiters, and I'm not positive that he's better than Dion Waiters at this point in time.
Dion Waiters. I hate Dion Waiters, man.
Come on.
I hate Dion Waiters, though. I think he's a toxic – negative player. I think I don't want him anywhere near my team. I really will. I think he brings a lot of negativity to the table.
But I mean, you have to think about from the Knicks' perspective. Tim Hardaway Jr. is the same player they traded 2 years ago for Jerry and Grant. So I mean, they couldn't think that highly of him. And then they throw this money at him. It's just a weird situation. So
well, listen. I think Melo wanted him out of New York. I really do.
Yeah, there was reports that him and Melo didn't get along at all. So.
Which gives me the reason to believe that Melo could be gone.
Melo likely is gone. In best case scenario for the Knicks, they're hoping Melo is gone, and then maybe they do likely start that small lineup like Corey mentioned.
But I do think that's going to take a little time. I think that like Brad said, Brad's point he made earlier in the podcast, I think that that's going to take till the halfway point, whatever that trade deadline is.
Which just got moved up a few weeks, so.
Yeah.
But, Enough about the battle in New York. That wraps up for today, guys. Thank you for hopping on. And as always, thank you for
fun time. Listening. That was fun.
That was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Brad, good stuff, man. Thank you, guys. Good stuff, guys. Take care.